Okay. Hold someone's hand, let's say this verse together. Amen. So hold someone's hand and say this verse after. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself, as regards supernatural reign, we are educated and we walk in the light of it. This year, next year, decades and decades to come, we walk with the supernatural reign. And we know how to make that reign available every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So, we're looking at what I titled supernatural reign. Hallelujah. And that happens to be God's direction for us in the course of the year. Glory to God. That has to be, or that is God's direction for us in the year 2025. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Supernatural reign. So, many times I've heard people say, why don't you have a thing for the year? You know, what man can come against everything? What man? You know what man? I'm a word man too. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you what we can come against. I remember one time like that, I had a conversation where this was years back, and a friend of mine told me a word man too. I won't call his name, but someone that everybody knows. He said, why would you have a thing for the year? You are restricting God to a word. God can be restricted to a word for the year. Amen. That's a word man. And I said, oh, makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. Why? Because God can give you a direction, right, for the year. The same way you can have a direction for your day. Glory to God. I know what men that have come against using daily devotion. I said, why are you using daily devotion? I wonder what is some people's problem. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Dear word man. I guess I'm going to have that picture one day. Dear word man. Amen. Oh, it's a people's problem. Just like yesterday, I finally put up a post on my WhatsApp status as regards knowing a friend, someone who comes, who cannot defend you when you're not there. Should not count that person as a friend, right? That person should be numbered as an enemy too. And somebody came to my DM and said, Jesus, the Bible says you should love your enemies. And I said, can you refer back to what I wrote? Make sure you're recording it. I said to the person, can you refer back to what I wrote? And this is the same person that will tell me to my face that Jesus is not God. That the same person I told to go to my truth. I don't even know my truth. Mother Thai. He says around there. I said, go there. I described this spot for him where they say, watchman tower. I said, go there. Buy a bag. Then when you get to that place, collect the watchman. It's for free. Collect it. Put it inside the bag. He said, why? I said, because you have become Jesus. Right? I said, Jesus is not God. And he sent me a diagram that proves Jesus was not God. And I said, this diagram is rubbish. I told him it's rubbish. But I've said it before. I said, it's rubbish. Well, he came and said, why is it that? He was not looking at Jesus. The Bible says you should love your enemies. I said, did you see anything about in that post? He said it's about love and hate. Did I tell you what I'm doing to my enemies there? I just said you number the person as your enemy. So how does he relate? I'm like, no, because that's my post. My post is all about friendship. Listen, look at how he summarized all my posts all these days. It says friendship, loyalty, and what? And honor. And I said, you cannot use, you cannot cherry pick my post. And that is being biased. I don't know, you are being biased. The days I spoke about Jesus is God, is hand loyalty. Then you are being biased. You don't come to my post with biasness. Because you want to see something to attack. If I want to see something to attack in everybody, I will see something to attack. Amen.
He said, no, God gave to my brother, but I said, hey, when you?
Well, he will come back another day. Even the Bible says, Satan left for a few days.
Glory to God, but you just be careful. Hallelujah. Some people just want to make noise.
Some people think sound doctrine is when you attack another person. And I told you, that's how theologians behave. Amen. They want to take a position.
Glory to God.
They want to take a position on God's word.
So you are a pastor. You are a discipler. You can't take such position, though you know Greek and Hebrew.
But you're, okay, but you're not knowing Greek and Hebrew so that you're easy to go and attack. Jesus.
Okay, I will be.
Avoid those rubbish. It's unnecessary. Very unnecessary. Matthew 28, supernatural rain. Is that it? Of supernatural rain. Not supernatural rain at R-E-I-G-N. Rain. R-A-I-N.
The Bible says, we're going to rain.
Bible says 8, 1, verse 18. And Jesus came straight to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He said, and lo, I'm with you all. He said, even to the end of the age. Amen. Mark chapter 16, Jesus said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall accompany, follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take off something that if they drink any deadly thing cannot hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and did what? And did what? Yeah, in Lagos alone. Everywhere. They went on and preached everywhere. Hallelujah. Went forth and preached everywhere. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It says, and with the Lord with them and confirming his word with signs following. That is the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've seen theologians argue that we shouldn't read Mark 16. We'll get there when I get to teach you four gospels. Why did they say so? Well, they have just been stupid. Luke 24, from verse 47. Some of the people, and he said to them, causes is written and thought to behold Christ is found to rise from the dead third day. And now repentance, which is 47, and remission of sin be preached. Now he says in Mark, preach the gospel, in Luke he says repentance and remission of sin. So that means the gospel is the gospel of what? Remission of sin. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, lastly, John 20. John 20. Verse 23. Verse 22. And when he had said this thing, he breathed on them. That's what emphasis. He breathed on them. Now, the breath on them doesn't mean he did like this to them. No. The breath there is a shorthand. I told you. The writers of the Synoptic and the New Testament write in a shorthand. Now, my pastor will call it a codified language. Well, it's a shorthand. That's how I put it. There's a shorthand for what he did within the 40 days. He taught them. Right? He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So whosoever sins, what is? Whosoever sins ye forgive, are forgiven. And whosoever ye retain, are retained. Now, he's not talking about you go ahead and start telling people, I hold your sins against you. No. If you read Mark and Luke, you'll know what Jesus is talking about in John. But he says, whosoever sins ye forgive. Now, this is a doctrine that the Piper, okay, no, I'm not good there. That the Roman Catholic, right? I know I didn't get to Roman Catholic Church during GPL, but we are looking at it a woman. So don't worry. In the next coming years, you just hear it for the woman story. Amen. So the Roman Catholic, this is where they now base their atonement on things for, that it is the Pope, right? The Pope. And the father, the priest, who are acting in the stead of the Pope,
in the locality that has the power to forgive sins. So you go, you confess your sins to them, and then they will tell you your sins are forgiven. Now that is it. Can you think? I told you, how does doctrine, how does denomination start? Denomination starts from what? A wrong view of scripture. You see that? So when you take scripture that way, I say that is what Jesus is saying. No, you're gonna miss it. In fact, Jesus didn't even mention he was speaking to all of them. So how come it's now for Pope? Everybody should just be going ahead. So I don't like Esther's face today. I'll tell you, this one is done for me. I will remind you on judgment day. I don't like to say, I say, yeah, for drinking malt and jam donuts, I'll remind you, like I'm reminding you, on judgment day. Did you see that? Amen. Can you see that? You're with that. But that's not what he's talking about. He said, whosoever sins herein. So he expects that that you read. Now, John was written years after. So he expects you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke to see what he's talking about. So that means in the preaching of the gospel, there's remission of sins. So when a man believes, what happens? His sins are remitted. Did you see that? Hallelujah. When he doesn't believe, his sins remain with him. Jesus spoke about that. Hallelujah. He said, when in Matthew chapter 10, he said, whichever house you enter, he said, if they reject you, he said, you should take your things and leave. He said, you doff your shoes. Right? That their sins be upon them. Did you see that? Did you see that? Their sins is upon them. That means that their sins remain because they've rejected the gospel. Do you understand that? Amen. Amen. Why do I have to come through this class? Well, we look at what we've been saying in the course of what we'll be looking at in the course of the year. Jesus sent us forth to preach the gospel. He sent us forth to preach the gospel. Evangelism. He sent us forth to preach the gospel, to evangelize. That is the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is not a person. An evangelist is an office. We'll look at it from February. Hallelujah. Amen. Pneumaticus. Don't get to pneumaticus. You see that. An evangelist is an office. And who is to be an evangelist? Not a person. A lot of people put it at the back of the name, Evange. There's one guy like that in school we call Evange. His name, I forgot his name. See, today, if I see him, even online, and we chat, I'll call him Evange. I don't even know his name again. Evange. And he didn't win a soul. Evange. Because I became close to a certain fellowship in school after a while. The castle. So I became very close to them. So I knew all of them. The guy was no longer in that position. He went to another position after some years, but we still call him Evange. He left school Evange. How about that? He's now a position. Amen. Just like someone saying, why are you calling Paul? Call Apostle Paul. They don't have respect. Apostle Paul. No, apostle is a function. It's not a title. Some people carry that as a title. I remember one time someone who called me pastor. Called me pastor in the office. I said, no, I'm not your pastor. They are saying you're not a pastor. I said, pastoring is a function. I'm smart. Amen. Amen. So anybody that calls you pastor like that is not your sheep. Watch it, they are trying to whine you. So before the whining starts, stop. You do not start carrying the unnecessary shoulder pass. Oh God, my name is Smart. How about that? Glory to God. Amen. I was somewhere some weeks ago and someone asked me, what's your name, sir? In a place where almost all of them know me, if I their pastor, know me as a pastor. The pastor knows that I'm a friend to their pastor. So now, I said, what's your name? I said, my name is Smart. He said, oh, Smart. I said, yes, so Smart. It was, it is this guy, family that came to Kobani. Yes, I said, sorry, I'm looking for my pastor. He came to Kobani. He was calling for Smart and I was very fine with it. Very fine with it. So someone else, and I have someone else, after he has come to Kobani, someone else said, thank you, Pastor, sir.
The guy asked him, "Sorry, sir, are you a pastor?" That's one of the hardest questions I usually do answer. I'd rather tell you, discover by yourself. Maybe from a conversation, and I'd rather tell you, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Okay, yeah." I said, "I'm so sorry, sir." I said, "Sorry for what?" "I'm so sorry, sir, for calling you brosman." I said, "I prefer it." That's what I said to you. I said, "I prefer it." Glory to God. So everyone is an evangelist. Should be an evangelist. Right? Every believer. Evangelize. So I want to ask you a question because of time. I want to ask you a question. Today is January what? 5th. From January 1st. So 5th of January, what have you done with the 5 days? What have you done with it? Have you acted as an evangelist? How many people have you spoken to about Jesus? How many people have you spoken to about Jesus? How many people have you gotten saved? How many people? Or you are still eating rice and chicken leftover? How many people are still eating leftover? See, eating chicken. See, dragging for neck. So now what will be remaining is wings and neck. And bum bum of chicken. So you are dragging it. You are dragging for chicken at home. How many souls have you won this year? It's 5 days gone. Remaining 360 days. How many souls have you won? Hallelujah. It's something we're going to look at after when we get to our round table today. How many souls have you won? How many have you discipled? How many disciples did you have added to your disciples? How many have you added? How many of you won souls within the past 5 days? Let me see your hands. Won souls within the past 5 days. Every other person, look around. See how many people won souls in church. So the rest of us have still been eating Christmas rice and wearing Christmas shoes. Dying Christmas hair. Hallelujah. If you did not, if you have not won souls, right? Then you have to wake up. It shows you have not lived for Jesus the past 5 days. You've not won anything. You've not lived for Jesus in the past 5 days. And we say this year, we're going to live for Jesus every day. Hallelujah. You've not lived for Jesus every day. Past 5 days. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says in Mark 6, when he says go into all the world and preach the gospel, to every creature. When it says preach the gospel, right? All the world, preach the gospel, right? It means go into all the world. It means you should go into every man's world. I love that's how a pastor says it. Go into every man's world. And every man's world means everyday circle of life. Go into every man's world. Everyday circle of life. Hallelujah. Whereby in your daily pursuit, you are able to tell somebody about Jesus in your daily life. Don't just write it. Register it in your heart. That in my daily life, I'm telling somebody about Jesus. Who prayed for it. Who went 18 hours. The total hours of prayer on his GPLR was 26 hours. Over 26 hours all through praying. You can't come now and you're not doing what you prayed for. Did you see that? Amen. You cannot let the fire go off. You cannot. Hallelujah. Amen. So they go into every man's life, every man's world, everyday circle of life. When your daily pursuit, you are telling somebody about Jesus. When you use the word preach there, it was keruso. How you announcing him. How you tell somebody about an event. Now, it's not just until you carry a megaphone. No, we've missed it on that too many times. It means in how you announce something. How you tell somebody, oh, this is happening. How do you tell someone, oh, there is, for those of you who like this, oh, there is going to be, you have the gift. And you want to tell somebody, do you know that you can buy 40 gig for 3,000.
You need a megaphone to do that.
Say, how far?
You know, in regular conversation, I meet Bola on the way. I say, Bola, how far? Which network are you using?
They're using MTN. I say, they have a fake network.
Amen. And then I tell you, use Airtel. 3,000 naira for 40 gig. You know, just simple. From a regular conversation. That is how you talk about the gospel. Amen. So that's why we need to pray. Don't joke with your prayer time. In the morning, you change prayer. Your prayer time, you are praying these things to be. So in your regular conversation, hallelujah, in your regular conversation, you should see opportunities in them to talk about Jesus. Pick the moment. Someone once told me, say, Mozia always talk about Jesus. I said, because I'm taking advantage of the moment. Amen. He must always pitch in Jesus. In that conversation. How many people have been told Jesus loves you this week? You don't need to wait until you wear one hat and climb one bike. From your daily conversation, you can tell somebody about Jesus. Hallelujah. So that means the conversations about Jesus will come from regular conversations. So make up your mind. Right? Make up your mind this week and say, I'm going to win one soul per day. At least, on the minimum, one soul per day. And it will come from regular conversation. How about that? Regular conversation. Regular talk. Glory to God. Glory to God. Regular conversation. Regular talk. So this week, make up your mind to win souls. Right? Amen. Let's get into what we're looking at. Matthew 1:1. It says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, he said, son of David, son of Abraham, Old Testament word, regenerations, is where you have the word Genesis, showing you that you have to get back to the Genesis. We'll say that over and again. Right? So, the writer of the synoptic gives to you a background of how they are writing from the Genesis. In Mark 1, it says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. Beginning there is that Hebrew, I mean that Greek word for Genesis also. Archaeoma, the beginning. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it goes over to tell you how to read. As it is written in the prophets. Prophets that are referring to what? Old Testament books, right? Old Testament books for reference, as I call it. It says, as it is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which I prepare the way before thee. So, he goes again, talking about Jesus, he goes to Malachi. Then in verse 3, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Isaiah. So, he reads backwards, telling you how to read this material will be, you have to read it backwards. Did you see that? Read it backwards. So, as you read the four gospels will take you to Malachi. Malachi will take you back to Isaiah. Isaiah will take you back to the psalmist and to Moses. Did you see that? Amen. You read backwards. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, we have John. Before we get to John, we have Luke. Right? Luke also will give you that background. He writes to one man who is actually not a Jew, a Gentile. It's a father that has taken in order to set another a declaration of those things which are surely believed among us. If not, they deliver them to us, which from the beginning are eyewitness and minister to the world. It seems good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order most excellent people. It gives us the background of a Gentile person, right? But he also make credence also. He said what he's writing, he wasn't there, but he got it from the eyewitness. And he said they are ministers of the word. So when you were ministers of the word, what was the word there? Or what do they have as the word? Or scripture read the Old Testament book. So when you get to Luke 24, he also gives you that background of Jesus when he says, majorly Luke is a defense of Paul. He said, but there's no Paul there yet. He writes about the defense of Paul. He traces Paul back to Jesus, and then gets to Acts like Second Luke. He continues from Acts of Apostles. Amen. Amen. It's just like I will also agree with the fact that the book of Genesis was actually about Joseph. Amen. It was about Joseph. But to write about Joseph, Moses will have to write it backwards. Write about his father, grandfather. So don't trace Abraham, and don't trace Abraham to Adam. Did you see that? Amen. That was what Luke has done. Hallelujah. In 1st and 2nd Luke. First and second Luke here. Luke and Acts. That's what I mean. 1st and 2nd Luke. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I said that on purpose. I will get someone. Amen. So John. John will open up. Okay, I said Luke 24, verse 25. Jesus will show you Jesus in verse 25. But he says, oh, put slow about to believe, not the prophet has spoken, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory, and beginning at Moses. So here's what beginning at Moses, he goes there again, shows you a background of what he has been writing about, or what Jesus has been talking about, within the synopsis, will come from Moses and the prophets. Did you see that? Amen. Then John 1. John will say, in the beginning, the same word again, Alkeomai. Used for Genesis was the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. And he used the word there, word Dabar, making you see that the Dabar is referring to, it's not Logos as you have it, it's not spoken word, no. It goes beyond spoken word to show you that the word it was referring to is the experiential word. Experiential word, which is, I call it, the visible reality of God within the Old Testament book, making us conclude that the difference between the Old and the New Testament is not Jesus. Amen. Jesus was in the Old Testament. Book. Permit me. Amen. Okay. I think I'm deviating. Jesus was in the 39 book, right? I think we should have gone beyond Old Testament book. 39 books, we get a name for it. Right? Jesus was in the 39 book, right? Did we say that on Thursday? Jesus was in the 39 book, right? Aha. But the difference there is that he was not as a man. Right? He was not as a man. He said all that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means today, we would have to read also the New Testament into the Old Testament book. Did you see that? Amen. So what did they have with them when they were teaching them the word in the New Testament book? What did they have? Genesis to Malachi, thank you. They had Genesis to Malachi. So when Paul says to them, yeah, O Israel, the Lord thy God is Ikar. What would they do? Well, you know, on Thursday I was talking about Ikar on Sunday. On Thursday. Was it Thursday? Eh? I was talking about one. So, when Paul says, the Lord thy God is a card, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all of them, their Bibles will be on Deuteronomy. Will be in Deuteronomy first. Right? Deuteronomy is verse 4. Glory to God. They'll have to understand it. So that was reading from. Look at Romans 15 verse 4. Romans 15 4. It says, the things which were written aforetime. Aforetime means is referring to in old time, in the beginning, from the beginning. Aforetime there, now in this context, refers to Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. Therefore, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Learning there is where you have the word didaskalia. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Didaskalia. Didaskalia means teaching. It was written for our teaching, our learning. Did you see that? So that means in teaching, what do? We learn. Did you see that? Amen. That we, through the patience and comfort of the scripture, did you see what is the aforetime? Scripture. Might have hope. So that means what it refers to as aforetime, there was this referring to what was written as scripture. Hallelujah. They're written for our learning, our teaching. So that means the 39 books are not to be thrown away. The 39 books are for teaching. They are for teaching, learning. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine. Hallelujah. Doctrine, there you go. You have the same word didaskalia. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verse 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament books are not irrelevant things. Some of us just like to read. For now, a lot of people are now enjoying Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Oh, some people are still having some ish with Leviticus. But we've done a bit of Leviticus, right? Right? But I say when you see all those burning off, you don't have to look at it that way. The kidneys, the fat, the this, you have to read it in context, right? That the kidneys, the fat, the everything are all part of the priestly ministry. Hallelujah. You burn it with the Holy Ghost fire. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hope you're following me now. Hope you're following me. So the things that were written are for our fans, were for our learning. So some people are already reading scripture as well, right? How many of you have been enjoying your study time? Let me see that. Give your hands. With what we've been teaching, you can now go through Genesis, Exodus without fear. Right? Right? You can also do it. Read it. I just remember that when I get to some places, Judges. Some places, Nehemiah. What is it? Vision. What is it? Vision. Lama. You know, you learn the tip. This is not for me. No, they are all for you. Hallelujah. They are all for us. Genesis down to Revelation. They are all for us. They are all for us. Amen. Amen. Burning of the fat, putting of incense, everything there for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. In fact, he says there for, I love what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. It is for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, idea in the opportunity. But we have spiritual growth. So that means spiritual growth in the New Testament. So the New Testament writer was gotten from Old Testament books. So, and it is their recipe for spiritual growth. It therefore means that recipe for spiritual growth has not changed to today. I'll have to read Genesis down to Malachi and still find it for spiritual growth. Did you see that? So nothing should be discarded. Nothing should be discarded. I was reading everything together. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. With everything together. So, the background of the New Testament writings will be what? Will be what? The Old Testament book, the Genesis down to Malachi. Let's see something. James, let's see. We're getting into our teaching. But I don't want to spend too long on this teaching. Genesis, James, chapter 5, quickly. I'll read from verse 6 into 7. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He said, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. What is precious fruit of the earth? And have long patience for it until it receives. Now, it says, I want to start from verse 6, but so be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, the word coming there is not rapture. It's called the word coming, where you have the Greek word perusia. Perusia. Amen. The perusia or perusia. Perusia. Anyone? It's not my mother tongue. Hallelujah. The perusia or the perusia is not used for second coming. Hallelujah. Rather, perusia is used for the word perusia is used for a special coming. Right? And it doesn't deal with a disappearance. No. You just look at, it's the same, I'm going to deal with that in some coming months or weeks or years to come. For example, how many of you were around for Dixon's wedding? This is my reference point on saying wisdom also gets married. Amen. How many of you were, you know that somebody came to ask me that? Are you really, is this serious that person, wisdom is getting married since 25? And I smiled. I said, wait till she says it's nice to you. You'll get angry. You remember when they were in church? Wearing white. Who was also wearing white? You're a demon. You should wear black. Not white. He's a woman, I should wear white. Then he went to wear white. What does that mean? You should be wearing black. That your sins will be washed away in a white. Amen. So, he was on suit. Right? Right? Were they not looking nice? Were they not looking nice? They made me to officiate white wedding for the second time in my life. After I said I was not going to do it again. Amen. So, after they were done, we saw them. They said, in fact, on Friday, they wore Nupe clothes and Bayelsa clothes. On the Friday, they did all the traditional rites. The father took his hand, took her hand and said, okay, marriage. They are married that day. Were they not married? Were they not married? Yeah. Married! The brother did not take the wife home. They said, no, there is a Perusia. They said, okay! I'm trying to teach you what Perusia means. They already married! So, he now came the next day. He now came to do white man's own wedding. Amen. So, white man. Well, I was part of the white man. We did everything. Pastor Nan says, husband and are they not supposed to go home? And the marriage had finished. They now went somewhere called mess. What is mess? Mess is where they pollute. They do pollute. They would call it. Where they do competition for who can pollute the most. They asked me what is mess. That was how somebody explained it to me growing up. Anyway, so your father goes to mess. To go and mess up. He was just not a soldier. So he went to somewhere they call mess for reception. Now during the reception, we now waited for people who've seen in church. Did we see them in church? We saw them in church. I or you did not see them in church. You were not there. So don't say we saw them. Amen. We saw them in church. We saw their height. All of a sudden, the brother went to wear Dior car. What is it? It's a special appearance. He now pulled his shoe. Now what trainer? The sister went to pull white. Now what brown? Brown skin girl. And they began to dance. In fact, the one of God now carried one toy ball. And they marched out. They said, no. In fact, people were there and they said, no, grand appearance of the greatest couples in town. But we saw them, no, you have to see this one. Can you see? So, the Perusia is not a taking away. It's an appearance. A special appearance. In fact, Paul, in explaining that in Romans, we call it the manifestation of the sons of God. So when people say there's a going away, I tend to wonder where did they see it from? Amen. See, we're going to go away, we're just going to disappear. So at night you are scared. No, it's called a special appearance. Amen. A what? Special appearance. And Paul would say that is the manifestation of the sons of God. So stop. When would that happen? When the earth is filled with his glory. Right? Right? I'm not going there today, but I'm just giving you a background so that you don't think what James is writing here is rapture. Did you see that? Can I get what I say? It's a bit taken therefore unto the coming of the Lord, right? The husband man waited for the precious fruit of the earth. Right? Precious fruit of the earth. Is that harvest? Is that harvest? And have long patience for it. Peter will say the long suffering of the Lord is what? Is what? Is what? You guys are not reading your Bible. The long suffering of the Lord is what? Salvation. What is that we see? Amen. Amen. So salvation. So in the context here is salvation of men. In other words, and have long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You see that? So who receives the early and the latter rain? Is it God or the precious fruit of the earth. So you can receive the early and the latter rain. Hallelujah. So there's something called rain. Rain. He says it will receive the early and the latter rain. Early and the latter rain. Hallelujah. 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 Early and the latter rain. So, the background of this rain will be the Old Testament book. Will be where? Old Testament. So, we have to get back to the Old Testament book to see. When I told you anything you don't find, what is the foundation of Scripture? Let me see who remembers what I said on Thursday. Huh? Genesis? No. Genesis chapter 1 to 3 is the foundation of Scripture. Amen. Never forget it. Never forget it. You have the totality of the foundation of Scripture there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Aya. Shows you are reading your notes. Amen. Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember, I told you, it's heavens and the earth, right? Heavens in the air. That word and there is actually the word in. Right? Right? And that is Reshit Elohim Bara Shamayim Esired. The word Esired there. Esired means in the air. Hallelujah. So, when it says the beginning of God created the heavens and the earth, we say that is a supernatural world. Hallelujah. I don't think he's writing about science or archaeological facts. No. Is writing about the supernatural world. Hallelujah. God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens there is where you have the word Shamayim. Used for the immaterial world. The invisible world. But Moses will represent it with something. We'll get this one. Amen. Therefore, you should know that the Bible is a supernatural book. The Bible is also a supernatural book. Written in natural language. Never forget it. The Bible is a supernatural book written in natural language. Written in the language of man, but it's supernatural. So it opens up that way to the supernatural book. Hallelujah. So, Moses, in trying to explain the supernatural, which we say the background will also be Exodus chapter 3 verse 12. When he said, this will be a sign that when you, that I'll send you, when you deliver, or when you take the people out of Egypt, he said, you serve me upon this mountain. And serving me upon this mountain will now lead you to Exodus chapter 18, yeah, where you will now have to teach them, which we saw all this during GPLR, right? We'll have to teach them. So, in teaching them, you have Genesis. So, Genesis is written to an Exodus audience about the oracles of God. Hallelujah. So in writing the oracles of God, which is supernatural, he will use natural things to explain it. But there's no way I want to talk about the supernatural that I can explain without natural things. Even though you understand it. Hallelujah. So I have to use natural things to explain it. Now I want to talk about supernatural beings, and I use the word angel. Angel is not a supernatural language. Angel just means messenger. Did you see that? Or is it angel? No, it's just messenger. The word God, G-O-D, is not a supernatural word. No, it is man's language. Amen. G-O-D is man's natural, is a natural language for what? Supernatural things. It doesn't, God is not used. The word God is a universal language, it's a universal word. It's not used for Jehovah alone. You see that? What are you following me? What are you following me? So it's not a supernatural language. So how would the supernatural be explained? It will be explained with natural things. Like I said, angel is not supernatural. Angel is natural. The natural language. Amen. Amen. Those are natural languages. Amen.
Glory to God. What that would mean? So we're dealing with natural languages. Look at verse 2. It now says, the earth of the form and void, and that of the voice of the Lord deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water. So let's see. He's explaining. What is he explaining? Is it the supernatural? Is it the supernatural? Do you agree with me that the supernatural is explaining? And how is he going to explain the supernatural? With natural language. Never forget it. If you understand this thing I just told you, because you understand, you will have most of the issues people have reading the Bible is done away with. Amen. Amen. Even sometimes, some word men, what they do is just to read the Bible and then forget the supernatural in it. Let's look at it again. Okay, we'll look at it again. We'll read it in context, but I will not deny the supernatural. Hallelujah. Okay, let me. You can't be too academical that you it's not to be academical in reading the Bible, but never forget that the Bible is for supernatural. So the academical is used to understand the supernatural. So don't make your quest for understanding scripture well make you lose sight of the supernatural. Amen. Amen. If not, you become like a theologian. They know how to read it in context, and then they forget the supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 The supernatural. When you lay hands on the sick will recover. Hallelujah. The supernatural. Glory to God. So the earth of that form and void, supernatural, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. The darkness is in natural or supernatural. Thank you. So he shows you the earth without the heaven. Now, watch it. What did he call Genesis 1:1? Heaven and the earth. Pause for a moment and see. Heaven and the earth is light. So why did he put the heaven and the earth? He uses natural things to explain the supernatural. So he uses sky for heaven. Watch it. Now, and the earth. So the way now there is sky on the earth is light. Did you see that? Light. Heavens and the earth. So he's trying to explain, or he's explaining God inhabiting with man. God and man in the same place. Right? He now represented with the temple, the tabernacle. Did you see that? God wants to dwell amongst men, heaven and the earth, together. Now watch it. He now goes to verse 2, that shows you the earth without the sky. So, what gives light on the surface of the earth? The sky. The heavens. Did you see that? So he says, the heavens without the earth without the heaven, he now says it's darkness. What is he explaining? He's explaining the supernatural. Did you see that? And then he calls it darkness. Now the darkness there, is it natural darkness or supernatural darkness? Thank you, supernatural darkness. Follow me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So is the heaven natural or supernatural? Thank you. Then the Spirit of the Lord moved over the surface of the water, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So the light, is it supernatural? Now, what is the light? God. What is the darkness? Not of God. Right? 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 Hallelujah. Not of God. Watch it. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. So, he said the night he called day, darkness he called light, the evening and the morning is the fourth day. Glory to God. Watch down to verses 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens. So divide, but you remember before he created this light within the heaven, was there already light on the earth? was already light on the earth. Before it was the sun, moon, and star, was already light on the earth. Was already light on the earth. Was there day and night already in verse 4? Can you see day and night? So that means listen. To make you see, and the light in verse 3 is not talking about sun, moon, and star. The light in verse 3 is God Himself. Is that? Watch it. Now, like I told you, he's not talking about history, or he's not talking about archaeological findings. He's describing the supernatural, right? So he's explaining the supernatural with natural events. So this is a known history to the Jews. So Moses is using it to write about the supernatural. Hallelujah. Now what's verse 14? It says, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the light, to divide the day from the night, and let there be for time. Watch it. The light in the firmament is for time and for seasons and for days and for years. Did you see that? Did you see that? And let the, so that means what would man have? Man would have seasons. Now what is it? And let there be for light, let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give them upon the earth. And so it was. And God made two great lights. The greater one to rule the day, the lesser one to rule the night. He made the stars also. You see that? He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give life upon the earth, to rule over the day and to rule over the night, and to divide the light from darkness, and saw it was good. Did you see that? So God created the moon and the stars. And the moon and the stars, he was using, what was he doing? He was using natural things that they know, natural history that they know, to write about the supernatural. Amen. So the moon and the stars that God created in Genesis chapter 1 were not physical moon and stars. Amen. Amen. They are not physical moon and stars. They are supernatural. In fact, they are used for supernatural things. Now let's see. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. Let's see how Moses is explaining. Deuteronomy 17. Quickly. Deuteronomy 17. From verse 2. And this was how they wrote in their words. Moses' audience knew what Moses was talking about. Amen. Because in their world, how they will write, right? I told you, how they will write is that they will use figurative expressions. I told you that's more than enough. Or you don't know. So if I don't say it, it's because I know you know. Amen. Amen. So what we are doing is that we are understanding in Moses' audience. So I put you already in Moses' audience. So hear what they heard. Did you see that? Amen. Look at chapter 17. Verses 2. It says, if they be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods. Now, what is the context here? Other gods. And worship them, either the sun or moon, or any of the hosts of the heaven. When you hear host of heaven, is that not Genesis 1? Right? So, how did Moses describe the host of heaven in Genesis 1? The light in the heaven. He calls it the host of heaven. How does that all mean? Now, who are they worshipping? He said, if they're going to worship them. If they're going to worship them. Did you see that? And he calls it idols. And I hear someone saying, every other God's not so good, yeah. True. Anyway, say they get high, but they know they see. We are still doing School of the Spirit, right? Right? We are doing it this year, we are doing it in February. Anyway, now I'm being religious, not say. The Bible did not deny the existence of other gods.
says, for me to work, no other job, from north to south.
I say, you stay? When Moses is warning them, you don't serve the sun, moon, or star, but the host of heaven. So that means, these are beings. What are the other names? They are what? Beings. They are not sun, moon, or star.
And they say, we are looking for the moon. If it is full moon.
It's the moon! Yay!
The weather is Ilea.
You're checking out for stars. For moon. The Bible calls those things supernatural things. Now, I'm not telling you the moon you see up there is not a supernatural thing. But Moses has used it, right, as a figure for supernatural beings. What are you hearing me?
So I don't turn to small children and say,
inside the moon I can see Jesus, I can see God, I can see Mary.
Are you serious? I did those things growing up.
Can you see inside the moon?
Amen. Glory to God.
Hope you are seeing that. Right? It says the hope of heaven, which I have not commanded, verse 4. And this is told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it be true, and the things are certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel. Did you see that? So that means they were warned not to serve the sun, moon, and stars. Did you see that? Go back again to Deuteronomy 4. Amen. Now look at verse 14. It says, and the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgment, that ye might do them in the land where I ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed to yourself. For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Now he's warning them that when God spoke to you, you did not see any similitude. So he's saying, don't liken God to anything. Don't put God on a picture. I said, this is Jesus. On Christmas Day, they took one guy that used to have Jesus in and said, we are celebrating with Jesus. And they snapped with the guy. And the guy was doing like this. Is the guy okay? Amen. Some people have pictures of Jesus in their houses. Amen. I remember one time like that. Me and my mom fought over one in my house. The house. Thorns on the head, and I said, what is this? They know this is our Lord and Father Savior. This was years back, so. Years back, before I was at the ministry, we fought. I said, how can this thing be your Lord and Father Savior? I didn't even know this. How can this thing be your Lord and Father Savior? They said, no, this is Jesus. Hey, what? You don't ask yourself, so why is it that they want me? Let me not even get there. Amen. Amen. If you don't like it to anything, even in your mind, when you're worshiping him, and I'm picturing one chair, he's sitting on it, don't like him into it. Don't like it into a smoke. That's false. Because if you like it into anything, it's idol worship. Did you see that? Did you see that? Don't like it into anything. Don't like it into a smoke. No, don't. He's gone. You're worshiping. So look into heaven. And you are picturing a chair. He's sitting on the right hand. God is sitting. Jesus is at the right hand. Right hand. How? Don't like it in. Tell your neighbor, don't like it into anything. They don't like him into anything. Amen. He's the one in the scripture, though. But you see, say, Luke, yes, corrupt yourself and make you a graven image. Let the spirit of any figure, the likeness of male or female. 17, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, and the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. Verse 19 together, when to go, lift up the eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole earth. Stop! Did you see this? I think this was very supernatural, the school of the Spirit. How many of you can remember? How many of you can remember? I said, Israel was not a nation. When God called out Abraham, he called out Abraham from the nation. In Genesis chapter 3, he gave every nation over to supernatural beings. That's what Moses is explaining. Every nation to supernatural beings. You understand me? Amen. To coordinate the affairs. I told all that. And I need to explain what it means to have the gospel. So, what those nations did was rather than them to follow. Listen. And the guy is Genesis 11, sorry. Now, instead of them to follow the he or listen to those supernatural beings, the word of the spiral was to coordinate their affairs. They began to worship them. You see that? They began to do what? To worship them. Do you understand me? Now that is the genesis of idol worship. Also. Okay, following me. Worship of supernatural. So they began rather than them to, and that is good, that about man, they began to worship this supernatural being. So what did God now do? God now called Abraham from among the nations, from idol worship. His father in Haran. He called him from idol worship. Worship of supernatural being. Do you see that? He called him out to be his God. Do you see that? Okay, follow me. To be his God. So God is now the God of Israel. Okay, follow me. He's now the God of Israel. So now, he now says to them, when you get into the land, remember the land is Canaan. Right? The Canaanites, were they also worshipping supernatural beings? Yes. And also when you get them, you are not going to worship. Worship? Other beings, like the nation. Do you see that? Amen. Amen. So he reminds them. Because they are going to see graven image. How people are worshipping idols. But you are not going to be carried away in that worship. You are going to worship the Lord thy God. Watch it. And in worshipping the Lord thy God, that is how God is now going to win other nations. I showed you that. So, the taking of land will be supernatural. You are dispossessing supernatural beings. You are displacing them. Amen. So, their marching into Canaan was to displace supernatural beings. Jericho, supernatural being. Don't think it's just walk from Buddha. No, it's a context of supernatural being. The same thing that happened in Egypt. In Egypt was a context of supernatural being. A conquest of supernatural being. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't think, oh, there was just wonder signs and wonders in Egypt. No! No! Amen. Amen. All the plagues you saw was God dealing with the gods of Egypt one after the other. Hallelujah. They had multiplicity of gods, so God had to deal with them one after the other, from the star turning to snake. What we thought was just normal. They went to bring their own staff and the turned to snake. That was the God. And what did God do? What did the staff of Moses do? It swallowed all the other staff, all the other snakes.
showing you is the supremacy of God over the gods of Egypt. And the last god of Egypt that God had to deal with was Pharaoh. What are you doing that? Amen. God dealt with all of them. So when they got to Jericho, Jericho was not because they had a good defense system. It was also a crash. How can you tell me that a shout brought down a whole fight, a whole war? And you think it was normal? You think it was just normal shout? No. It's a crash of beings. Amen. Amen. So when you hear land, you're taking over the land. We'll take the land. It's a clash of things. And I told you, that is how you approach evangelism. Evangelism, you are dispossessing supernatural beings in location and place. And you are taking over land. So you win force in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. You dispossess force in the place of prayer. Then you go with the gospel. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. That's why Jesus will say, you cannot enter into a strong man's house without first of all binding the strong man. It's a true see evangelism that way. Hallelujah. What are you following me? You must see evangelism that way. It's a class of God. How am I getting into supernatural? I mean the school of the spirit like this. Amen. But we need it. We are talking supernatural. Amen. Guess my time is almost up now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you're following me now. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So, the sun, moon, and stars is referring to what? Supernatural beings. Look at Psalms 8, verse 3. That's where we sing our song from. Psalms 8, verse 3. It says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy finger, to the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Then that, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? He says, the sun, moon and stars, which thou hast ordained. Then that God ordained them, God made them. Hallelujah. And it's not referring to physical stars, but referring to supernatural things. And the what is man? Psalms 147, quickly. It says, talk about God. It says, praise the Lord for his good, sing praise to our God, for his pleasant and praise him calmly. For the Lord God viewed up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healed the broken heart. He bind up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. See, he called them all by their name. He calls them by their name. The great is our God and of great power. He understands. I mean, his understanding is infinite. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means the natural is used to explain the supernatural. Did you get that? The natural is used to explain the supernatural. So when you hear rain, you're not talking about physical rain. No. Rain also is used to explain the supernatural. Rain is used to explain the supernatural. So it will not always be physical rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rain. Water. Let's see a bit about water. In Numbers 14:21. Put numbers, put your hands in Numbers 14:21. Oh, okay, get to Numbers 14:21. Put your hands in Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. Amen. We have some readings to do this morning. Habakkuk 2 14. Numbers 14:21. Let's go. Numbers 14:21 I read. He says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Did you see that? All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk 2 14. He says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Did you see that? As the what? So what does he use water for? He used water to describe the glory. As the waters cover the sea.
the seed for the earth. The knowledge, the glory of the Lord shall feed the earth. So, seed is used for earth. Water will is used for glory of God. Do you see that? And it's talking supernatural, but explaining it with natural things. Hope you're following that. With natural things. Hallelujah. In Genesis 2:8, get back to Genesis 2:8. Let's see how water is used here. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and then he put man whom he had formed. Now the garden also is natural used to explain supernatural. The garden is supernatural. But it's using it natural to explain the supernatural. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food, and a tree of life in the midst of the garden, and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10 together. Want to go? Verse 10. He said the river went out of Eden. Now, I'd like to put it like this. I showed you what it means. Not the river went out. The river went down from Eden. Because it shows that Eden is a hill. That's how the Hebrew put it. Eden is on a hill. And I thought the hill is used the award for the supernatural. Mountains is used as, it's called supernatural. It's called heaven. So that means Eden is in heaven. Okay, follow me. Eden is in heaven. Okay, follow me. Eden is in heaven. That is, if that sounds funny in your ears, maybe you've not been listening to like since I started. Amen. Eden is in heaven. No, he's in heaven. Amen. Go, go, go. Hope you're understanding me. Hope you're understanding me. Okay. So water flows down. Okay. Well, what verse? 10. Let's read verse 10 again. Once you go. Went to water the garden and from there and became verse 11. Want to go? The land of Abelia where there is a gold, and the gold of the land is good. There is bedlam and oil, stone. 13. Name of the second river is Gion. The same is it that converted the whole of the land of Ethiopia. Verse 14. And the name of the third is Hidekel, that is east of Assyria, and the fourth river Euphrates. Hallelujah. So he spoke about rivers that came out from Eden into the nation. Hallelujah. Now the river that came out of Eden, if you understand that Eden first, what is, if you understand that Eden first is supernatural, it therefore means, what is, it therefore means that those rivers too are supernatural. Now go back, stop. Wait, you're coming back to Genesis 2 again. Go to Genesis 1 verse 2. Now I said if you understand Genesis 1 to 3, you have a background of the totality of scripture. Now Genesis 1, 2. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved over the surface of the... What is the water there? Now, how is the water? Dark water, for there was darkness in the earth. So that means the water in the earth is dark. So what is the water for? Nation. Man. Hallelujah. So it shows you that God's task is among men. Isaiah 66 verse 1. I will look unto this man of a concrete heart. Read it out. Oh, you're following me. Amen. So God's desire is with men. So it gives you already a background of Genesis. Man. No wonder, dear man of God, E.W. Kenyon will say, the reason for the earth is man. The reason for creation is man. Because he has seen that in Genesis 1-2,
what was the Spirit concentrating on? Man, nation, man. So the water in Genesis 1-2 is man, that water. You see that? It's that water. So what is God doing? He's sending forth water. Hallelujah. Can we call it God's army? Can we call it God's army? From his Eden. Hallelujah. Into the what? Nations of the world. Into the dark rivers, dark waters of the earth. So what God is doing is that he's sending forth light. And that light will be his army, his men, into all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. So when Jesus says, God therefore, I'm preaching the gospel, that is Genesis chapter 2 verse 10. His waters into all the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. What are you following me? His army, his nation. Nations will rise out of Eden. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it will water the whole earth. Oh, you can see. So, the water out of Eden, is it supernatural? Is it supernatural? Are you supernatural? Are you that army? Is it the church of Christ? Is it now? The earth and nations of the earth. The dark water of Genesis 1-2, God is sending forth his water from Eden that will flood those nations. And that will be the Spirit of the Lord brooding over the surface of the deep. Hallelujah. How are you following that? How are you following that? So how will God make Genesis 1-2 happen? Or Genesis 1-3, I am life. You know what I say? The Spirit of the Lord moves over the surface of the deep. I am life. Right? So how will that happen? His water will flow into the nation. And when that happens, light is popping out in all the nations of the earth. So the whole earth is full of his light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see your role? I'm making light to shine. I'm making light. So you ask yourself every day, how many places have I lighted up? How many lives have I lighted up in the preaching of the gospel? Hallelujah. You ask yourself, how many lights am I lighting up? Am I lighting up? How many? This week, how many? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you can see the waters is for the nation. Waters is used to describe nation. Waters is used to describe nations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, can we say the water too is supernatural? Can we say the water too is supernatural? Is it supernatural? Water is supernatural. Okay. If water is supernatural, then I think we're getting to my teaching, which I swear can continue to speak. So therefore, the rain too will be supernatural. Rain also will be supernatural.
Rain, 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 rain. Supernatural rain is falling.
But can you make the rain fall? See, I'm telling you, we're going to be having seasonless rain. Hallelujah. No dryness this year. Hallelujah! And it's going to flow into every sector of your life. No dryness this year. No dryness this year. Woo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God! You don't know rejoicing through his rain? You don't know? Glory to God! Glory to rain! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! So I want to get to understanding the season, understanding the time, using opportunity. We'll continue, right? We'll get there. You'll now see how to use this opportunity now. Glory to God. Let's stand up. Let's just stand up. Hallelujah. Rain. So the rain is supernatural. So, when God talks about rain, you mustn't read that rain as natural rain. It's God that is talking about rain. You must not read rain as supernatural.
then the physical rain will be a symbol of the supernatural. Hallelujah. The physical rain will be a symbol of the supernatural. Hallelujah. That's the first time we have rain used. Who can tell me when we had rain used for? Genesis chapter 2. Foundation. Did you see that? So the foundation of rain is from the same Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Hallelujah. Genesis 2, 5. Genesis 2, 5. Oh, yeah. He said, now God is done. Now he announces, he said, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Say for the Lord. Now remember, the plant of the field and the herb is God's work. Right? God's planting in the earth. God's work in the earth. Don't think it's natural, supernatural. Right? Right? God's act. Is it God's act? God's will? Is it God's will? Is it God's plan? In Genesis 1:11, he said he put something in motion and said the seed shall bring forth after its kind. That's the law in motion. The seed shall bring forth after its kind. Hallelujah. So God set it in motion already. So he now said, before these things happened, said there was nothing. He says, okay, the plan before it was in the earth, the earth before, he said, for the Lord has not caused it to rain upon the earth. And now the word there is eternal time. Is that all it is? And not a man to till the ground. That means God's reign is for his will to come to pass. And he brings in man there. Something we're going to see maybe by next week, or if I don't wind up next week, upper week. I just want it to be very short so you can listen to it all through the year. Hallelujah. I want us to listen to this message all through the year. Glory to God. We're adding to the messages we are listening every month. That he remind you again of God's supernatural reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I don't want series. I don't want it to be too long. I want to shorten it. Glory to God. I'm just being careful and I pass across what I want to pass across in maybe two or three sessions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he brings in man. That this man has an involvement in God's reign. He said there was not yet a rain to bring forth the plants and the herbs. So that means God's reign is to bring forth. God's reign is to bring forth. It's to bring forth. Hallelujah. There was not yet a rain to bring it forth. And I said, not yet a man could see. The word seal there is the word abad. Seal there doesn't mean to start hitting the ground. No. It's abad is used for the priestly ministry. That means man has a role to play in God's reign. God's reign is to bring forth the harvest. It's to bring forth the harvest. And they need to be a man to bring it forth. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So, I'll round up like this. I have other things to say, but I'll continue next week. I'll round up like this. The rain has to fall for God's plan to be done. So God's rain is how God's will in the earth will begin to come to pass. As I sent the rain, there was no yet the rain. How God's will in the earth will begin to come to pass. God's rain is for his will. So that means when he has supernatural rain in the earth, things will be passed. We're talking about God's will in the earth. Hallelujah. God's will for man in the earth. That means there will be a lot of planting. Hallelujah. There will be a lot of planting. A lot of harvest in this year. Hallelujah. I remember I told us during convention, I said, when you hear the word early and latter rain, that was either before, I mean that might be during convention or before convention. So when you hear the word early and latter rain, those are verbiage for the land. Deuteronomy chapter 11, we'll get to see that. Amen. Amen. And he said they will have it in the same month. So that means, what it means is that there is a rain that brings forth rain. We want to see others. Hallelujah. God means we can keep having rain that will bring forth rain, that will bring forth rain. I will see this in the epistles. What does it mean? Or the book of Acts. They had the rain. They had the rain. In Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5, Acts 6, Acts 8. Hallelujah. Rain. Acts 9. Acts 13. Rain. Peter will explain it as refreshing. That brings forth refreshing. We'll read that. Hallelujah. Freshness. That brings forth habit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, rain is how God's will comes to pass. Rain is how God's task begins to happen in the earth. So God's will is for his will. I think I'll have to read this for us to see. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Moses writes to them as they are about to get into the land. Look at what he says to them. Hallelujah. 11. So verses 11. It says, but the land, whether ye go to possess, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh the water, and drinketh the water out of the rain of heaven. We'll see this next week. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Go on, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my command, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, and I will give you the rain of the land, of your land, in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain. What is the first, the Bible we call early rain. The early rain and the latter rain. That thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine. Thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy field for thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be filled. So the corn talks about the first format, first, which is early rain and the latter rain. Now, I know over the years, even myself will try to separate it. The early rain is this, the latter rain is this. Well, we'll see what that means. Amen. Amen. But remember, they are agrarians. So Moses is going to use their language. Early rain and latter rain is just a verbiage. Because what is called early rain for a crop is latter rain for another crop. Did you see that? Am I following me? What is called early rain for a crop is latter rain for another crop. That means I have a corn that already germinated and I want to plant groundnut. At the germination, that is already getting ready for harvest. Right? And I want to plant another crop, let's say beans. And I'm planting it. What is called early rain is for this, for this is latter rain for this. That means it's rain. It's just a very big within their world to differentiate. Early rain to sprout up for freshness. Latter rain also for harvest. It's the same verbiage. But it's God's rain. Hallelujah. God's rain. What does this rain mean? Now the first thing here also is that it's for harvest. For planting. Did you see that? Let's talk about gather your seed, gather your corn for planting. He also says, on every grass that their cattle will eat and be what? Full, and they will have plenty. Did you see that? So it's both for the planting and for the harvest. It's for the planting and for the harvest. Hallelujah. So God's will is for God's will. It's God's will is for God's will. That causes planting and harvest. That causes man to plant and harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll get back to all this. That causes this to happen. Look at chapter 28, verse 12. It says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thee rain unto this land, unto thy land, in his season, and to bless the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not grow. Rain that causes increase. You listen to that? Rain that causes increase.
Rain
that causes increase. So that means there is no famine. This year there will be no famine of disciples. There will be no famine of disciples. You will cast your nets to one, and then there will be a harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there are rains. There are rains. And we are in that season. Rains for increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open your Bible quickly to Jeremiah 5. I think I should read this out now. Jeremiah 5. Verses 3 to 4. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Are you there? Okay. Let's read. Want to go? The Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain, in his season. He reserved unto us the appointed weeks of the So did you see that? The rain is for the harvest. It's for the harvest. We're going to see some other morning speech. We'll also see that it's for freshness. Remember, in all this, man has a role of tilling the ground. Has a role to till the ground, and that is the priestly ministry. In Zechariah 10. Quickly, in Zechariah 10. Why the room? To seal the ground. Zechariah 10, 1. He said, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so he shall make bright clouds. Shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Ask of the Lord rain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the rain for freshness. Rain for harvest. Rain that brings for zeal. And zeal that brings for harvest. I put it like this. Rain that brings for freshness. Refreshing. And refreshing that brings for harvest. In this teaching that would run into next week and upper week, I trust the Lord that we will all know. You know, I told you what to do when you see your backsliding. You all know how to have refreshing. Hallelujah. How to have refreshing in your life. Refreshing. Dear your feet, let's thank the Lord.